The message today is entitled LGBTQ Things Christians Get Wrong. Now, as I've said the last two Sundays, lots of people claim to be following Jesus, and then they do stuff like the things I'm about to talk about. And when they do, they get being a Christian wrong. Nowadays, it honestly seems like there's a whole lot of people that are saying that they are Christian and then acting in a way that is amazingly antithetical to actually following the teachings of Jesus. Now, what's amazing to me is that knowing what you should do if you are a Christian in any given circumstance is a lot easier, a whole lot easier than most people make it out to be. It all comes down to one love. One word, love. Got ahead of myself there. If it doesn't come from a loving place, if it doesn't match up with the teachings of Jesus, you'll see it doesn't come from a loving place. If the outcome doesn't express love, then it isn't Christian. Yet, we see almost daily in the news, folks who like to think of themselves as Christian get this wrong over and over again. So, this is the third and final Sunday in this series. And today we will be addressing the issue in terms of the way we treat our LGBTQ friends. As I have already said in the past, following Jesus mostly comes down to one concept, love. The reality is, he never said a single negative thing about being LGBTQ, and you'd think that if it was that big of a Christian no-no, as some people seem to make it out to be, that he'd at least said something about it, but he didn't. He basically said a whole lot of stuff about loving everybody. Now, as I've said in the past two Sundays, this is by no means meant to be a complete list, but it is a pretty decent place to start, I believe. So, without further ado, here are 10 things that I think Christians sometimes get wrong about LGBTQ folk. Number one, condone violence towards people who are LGBTQ. Here's the thing. That sentence should have stopped after the word people. As in, condone violence towards people. I've even mentioned something like that in the past few Sundays list. LGBTQ, white, black, sinner, saint, scoundrel, savior. You are not loving your neighbor or those you think of as enemy when you support violence against them. Jesus said to love your neighbor and enemy. And please note, in that there are no ifs, ands, or buts in what he said about loving everyone. Love. Period. Number two, be against same-sex marriage. Biblical marriage is one of the biggest Christian misrepresentations out there. Biblical marriage. Yes, in the Bible, marriage is between one man and one woman. But you need to understand. See Julie over here already going. You need to understand. The Bible not only promotes marriage between a man and a woman, but it insists that the marriage be within the same faith. Not only should a wife be subordinate, that's in Ephesians, but she should also have to prove her virginity, lest she be stoned, that's in Deuteronomy. Oh, and the whole thing would probably be much better if it were arranged. You'll find that in Genesis. And that is just the warm-up act. According to Jesus, if a woman's husband dies and she hasn't had a son, she must marry his brother, have intercourse with him, until she has a son. You can find that in Mark chapter 12. Now, sometimes biblically wives are good, but concubines are better. Yep, biblically, many of the men of God were not only married, but at least three of them had more than one concubine, Abraham, Caleb, and Solomon. And they remained good men of God. But, like I said, biblically wives are good, and there's no such thing as too much of a good thing, right? So, why not have many wives? God frequently blessed polygamists: Esau, Jacob, Gideon, David, Solomon, Belshazzar. You know, I guess I'm a bit of a prude, but as far as I'm concerned, biblical marriage, you can have it. Two loving adults wanting to have a committed, loving relationship, on the other hand, yes, please, I am all about that. Number three, discriminate against LGBTQ folk. Currently, 16 states, including 13 attorney generals and 3 GOP governors, are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to limit the protection of LGBTQ folks, the workers in particular. That's right. A group of folks who traditionally identify themselves as strong Christians want to legalize treating some people as if they are less in the workplace. Now, it's hard for me to clearly articulate how unchristian, un-American, and unacceptable seeing people that way is. In my book, folks who see others that way are losing their grip on humanity. It, in a sort of old cliche way, ask yourself, who would Jesus discriminate against? And as you think about that answer, keep in mind that the Pharisees encouraged discrimination against women, tax collectors, the poor, and even Samaritans. And not surprisingly, Jesus confronted those kinds of people and that kind of thinking at every turn. Then he went out of his way to radically include them all. So to put it biblically, go and do likewise. Number four, say that the Bible, God, hates gay people. You've probably seen the signs. You may have seen them in person. You may have seen them on television that say things like, God hates homos. Here's the thing. The Bible actually never says that. And as a matter of fact, it literally could not have said that. The modern day concept of homosexuality is exactly that. It is modern day. You see, the concept of people having a sexual orientation was first introduced to the world in the 1800s, making it a thoroughly modern construct. Our understanding of two people of the same sex in a committed relationship was not something that the biblical text ever addressed, because it wasn't a concept that they understood or even thought about. And not only that, the very few times the Bible mentions anything mildly related to same-sex relationships, it doesn't say what most Christians try to make it say. Not only that, but the Bible's point of view is that we are all created. We're all created in God, in the image of God. All of us. Straight, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and everything in between. So, are you really going to make the argument that God, who is love, hates people who were made in the image of God? No, of course not. That's just silly. Number five, withhold ordination. Okay, I see that you're all sitting down. That's good. I have something to tell you, and I needed you to be prepared for this. So, here it goes. Christians are gay. Is everybody okay? If needed, I can take a little break here, give you a few minutes. Even if being gay were a sin, and like we've already covered, it's not. Being a Christian is not about being perfect. It's about loving God and loving others. Some Christians are gay. Some Christians are self-important. Some are loud. Some are polite. Some are even agnostic. They are just people being people. Not good or bad. But being gay has absolutely no impact on your ability to love God and love other people. As a matter of fact, I'd argue, now follow me here, I'd argue that if you are gay and a Christian, you have uber skills at loving other people. Just think about it. Gay Christians are willing to identify heavily with and participate in a group that has historically judged, marginalized, and persecuted them. In my book, these are people who could teach us a crazy amount about forgiveness, love, and grace. Number six, be quiet when people are marginalized and bullied. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It really is that simple. If you were being marginalized and bullied, wouldn't you want people to stand with you over and against the marginalizing and the bullying? Well, of course you would. So, you should do it every time you see it happening to others. Number seven, think that being gay is a choice. How is it that in the minds of so many Christians, God made straight people straight, but gay people choose to be gay? I think Kathy Beldock of Canyon Walker Connections, is a great blog you should look up, has a very helpful perspective on this. She says, that kind of thinking comes from seeing same-sex attraction as a behavior rather than understanding it as a part of who someone is. The classic question that is sometimes asked is this: when did you choose to be straight? Sure, it's a bit of a myopic understanding of human sexuality, but the point still stands. Sexuality is much more a part of who you are than it is about a behavior you choose. Admittedly, this answer is more about being rational than about following the teachings of Jesus, but Proverbs does tell us that wisdom is the thing in which God delights daily. So I'm just going to sort of stand pat on the logic of that one. Number eight. Believe that it's okay to be gay if you are celibate. My friend Matthew Vines points out in his book, God and the Gay Christian. I have several copies if anyone wants one. It's a great book. He points out in his book, God and the Gay Christian, demanding celibacy is at odds with the biblical perspective that celibacy is a gift, not a mandate. A gift. Not a mandate. For me, demanding that the only way you can be gay and be Christian is to be celibate is the equivalent of questioning God's wisdom. And that seems like a less than wise thing to do. Number nine. Support gay conversion therapy. I am here to tell you, you can pray the gay away about as well as you can pray the gray away. Trust me, I've tried and my beard's still gray. Conversion therapy is based on the precept that being gay is a behavior, not something that we are. And as we just covered in number 8, that's simply not true. The negative psychological impact and damage caused by conversion therapy is barbaric, unloving, and cruel. And like we talked about in number 1 and in number 6, we need to stop the violence towards LGBTQ folk and stand with them whenever they are bullied. Conversion therapy must stop. We must speak out every time we see, hear, or learn about it. Every time. And number 10. Think that the gay agenda is anything other than wanting to be who they are and love who they love. The most important part to know about gay people is the people part of gay people. People are people. We laugh, we cry, we want to be loved and cared for. That's the radical gay agenda, the radical gay agenda. To be loved. It's mine too. So, to conclude this 3-part series about some of the things Christians get wrong, I leave you with this thought. God is love. Jesus taught us that love can save the world. The world and the people in it are the only one that we have, people. So, let's all practice loving each other. Let's do it over and over again until we finally get it. Amen?
Good morning. I'm Ralph, and I'd just like to express appreciation for our church, where the last 3 Sundays I feel like our minister has been able to preach what he really, truly believes.
It is a gift from you guys. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are there others?
Good morning. Thank you for the message. My name is Gracia. I always find it really curious when I see hate going on with where we hate particular groups, whether it's LGBTQ, or Black Lives Matter. I always find it curious that the devil has a, who I would say every Christian has at the top of their hate list, has a one-on-one relationship with God according to the book of Job. So if the devil has a one-on-one relationship with God, God can call and say, hey, let's talk about this or that. That's why we, for the people who are not on the top of our hate list, but a little further down, why would we disparage those people?
Yeah. Excellent point. Thanks for sharing that. Are there others? Right here, Mr. North. I fell back to my naming of him when I first met him. Mr. North.
Thank you, Mark. Mr. Sandler.
Thank you so much.
I believe that we are all spiritual beings. The divine is in all of us, and when we see each other, particularly when we have communion and we are serving each other, we can look into the face of the divine of each other. That was the message of the man, Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we look at each other, culturally, we see the hate and the judging, and so there's such a contrast when we see each other spiritually. We see the love, we see the beauty, we see the joy of the person, the spiritual being that is there.
Thank you for sharing that. It reminds me of, and I don't remember whose quote it is, but I'm sure someone can help me out here. But it was said that you only love God as much as the person you love the least. Are there others?
back corner.
I don't know. I just have a thought of the contrast between fear and love and the projections of fear. And we're strange beings, we human beings, because within our souls, we have a sense, all of us do, no matter how much it's suppressed, of the great universe, the sense of much greater realities beyond our own limitations, our own limited realities. every time we dream, every time we go to sleep, we touch upon that reality to a degree. We bring messages back. We don't remember most of them because it uses a different part of the brain. But we do have this feeling. But yet we create societies, we create systems of thought that become, we're limited beings in our physical reality, but we also create systems of thought that are prisons for ourselves. And then we seek to imprison others, and there's this whole aspect of seeking to control what we fear. And I think the thing we really fear the most is the greatness of the love beyond the greatness of that great reality that I think we really fear it because we're stuck in our limitations. I know that's been wandering around the point, but.
Thanks for sharing that very much. David.
Well, I thank you again for your series and the other times that you've spoken about these issues and kind of laid it out for us. And I'm feeling sad that there's a large part of our society that wraps themselves in this Christian flag and then spews out all this stuff. There's times when I feel kind of funny being a Christian because the people who identify as Christians are not doing anything that seems really Christian. So it's very sad.
It is difficult. Are there any other? Mark, we're keeping you busy. One side to the next side. One side.
Yes, I exercise.
You're talking about a lot of the things you hear said under the banner of Christianity and actions that are taken, and I can totally relate to all of it because that's what I grew up in. And most of this is taught by people you love and respect. So, you know, it's things that have to be counteracted over time, you know, and I feel fortunate, you know, to have, you know, been able to move away from some of that. That's what required me to move away from the church in my experiences. There were so many things that were taught that just as the scripture you read this morning, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and you learn all these things, and the people around you are, you know, you live in that environment, you think that is the way people behave, and that's what, you know, people believe.
Yeah.
And but then as you grow older and get exposed to other ways of thinking, you know, and you become that adult that is able to ask questions about, well, you know, is this really, you know, is this right? Is it true? Is it, you know, so it's a process, and it's not just the process of an individual, but of a culture. And so anyway, it can totally relate to that.
Thanks, Mark.